Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Montana to Mahomes, his call has been synonymous with Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
He's the voice of the Chiefs kingdom, and he joins The Drive every Monday at 4.
You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike the Chiefs! You can disrespect the Chiefs! You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs!
Here's Mitch Holthus.
Mitch Holthus is here. His appearance on The Drive is brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association Incorporated, and by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Mitch, it's good to have you on after a win. You know, there's things we can certainly talk about with the Chiefs, good and bad, but you know what? It's been a while since you and I have talked about a Chiefs win. I haven't done that since January. It's been a long time.
Even taking into account losing all three preseason games. So it's been 2, 3, 5, 6. That's a 6-game losing streak, counting the Super Bowl, 3 preseason games, and starting 0-2. So, yeah, it's a different feeling, even though it's a little sleep-deprived, you know, these Sunday nighters and Monday nighters on the road. And it's been crazy. We're going to have 5 of those in the first 9 weeks if you count the preseason, because they shipped us out to Arizona and to Seattle for 2 preseason games. And then you got the crazy trip to Brazil. Then you got this one, and then Monday night at Jacksonville. So those add up a little bit. But how guys handle it and being strategic. But yeah, to get a win feels way different.
Let's start with the good, and there's certainly some things that I think were concerning in the Chiefs game. But let's start on the positive side. How have you seen the defense grow and change from week one till now? There was certainly some miscommunication, some breakdowns against the Chargers in Brazil. They've been really good these last 2 weeks.
I know it's hard to – it doesn't even look like the same group of guys. And now you've backed up 2 really good performances against a really good quarterback and a good receiving core, but against a quarterback who, of course, is aging, but an elite receiving core. C-Dot, that's 7 targets for Malik Neighbors, 2 catches and 13 yards. And Jalen Watson has come up with the play of the year to this date. We'll talk about a lot tonight, even hear from Jalen on the show. But that's an incredible play. If you think how big that play is, that's not 13-6 Giants, and that game feels way different, thinking, uh-oh, this could be a deal here, and they just give it to Cam Scadabo the rest of the night. But that pick then, and then to go get the 52-yard defensive pass interference penalty and go up 9-6, and then the Chiefs get the ball to start the third quarter, and then they have the best drive of the season. Balance with 5 runs, 4 passes, and you go up 16-6. You could have been down 13-6. So that Jalen Watson interception is enormous. But the defense playing front to back, you mentioned communication, understanding, tackling. The linebackers were really good in that game. Bolt had 14 tackles. He was flying around. And I don't care who you are, you got to tackle Cam Scadabo. All right, ask all those Big 12 teams that played him last year. He took games over, and he's going to be a great pro if he stays healthy. But to shut down Malik Neighbors is hard to do. He came into that game 3rd in NFL history in the number of receptions he had in his first 17 games. And when you look at what he did the week before against Dallas and what he's done throughout his career, to hold him to two catches for 13 yards is big news.
You mentioned Cam Scataboo, the receiver, or excuse me, the running back for the Giants. I know it's easy to play the hindsight 2020 game, but you and I talked a lot about running back this offseason. Man, I really wanted him to be a Chief. He felt like, even back in college, I mean, this is the kind of running back that they like. He had a lot of the same characteristics as Isaiah Pacheco. They run very similar, can catch the ball out of the backfield and help you. Like, if there's one player that realistically the Chiefs could have got, that I would, man, I wish they had grabbed him at Arizona State.
You know, he wears teams down. He'll wear you out. Now, in the NFL, it'll be a little bit different. But it's really kind of funny how the narrative has changed in 2 years. Because 2 years ago, we wouldn't be talking about, man, you got to take a running back and you got to take Cam Scataboo. But Saquon Barkley changed all that. When Saquon had the season he had last year, 2,500 yards counting the playoffs, and just dynamic and leading a team to a Super Bowl, everybody's starting to rethink it a little bit. But there's some good running backs that are out there. Now, it was good to see that first drive of the third quarter. Pacheco, and they dialed up 4 first down runs that averaged 6 yards a pop. No pun intended, but Pacheco looked a little fresher. And then the other thing that really encouraged me about last night was seeing Breshard Smith. Maybe not putting up 100 yards yet, but the fact that you could see what he could do. It's the Mecole Hardman plays. It's the jet sweeps. It's the flip passes. It's the end arounds. Remigio got a double-digit one on a jet sweep. But to get those plays that can be impactful in this offense means everything. It's why Mecole Hardman was so good at him at those plays and what it did for the rest of the offense. And so if Breshard Smith now can start to establish himself on a consistent basis, running 4-3-5 or whatever, and running those plays, it opens everything else up down the field.
I thought they were much more creative in terms of screen plays and just getting the ball in space to your playmakers, allowing Breshard Smith to use his ability as a former wide receiver converted running back to get him in the open field, allow him to make a guy miss. I thought they tried to switch things up with the offense to just run more screen plays, more misdirection than they did in the first 2 weeks.
It also slows down pass rush because these teams have just been teeing off, getting in the starting blocks and rolling. Coach talks about it tonight. They had an interesting scheme because they used Abdul Carter in a two-point stance, and they played 5 pass rushers, or 5 defensive linemen, essentially. But the athleticism of Carter makes it unique in that he can kind of roam around, kind of a Junior Seau type. But again, he's a fantastic pass rusher. One way to slow all of that down, we have seen the Chiefs do it for years against the Max Crosbys and against the Bosa brothers and others, the TJ Watts of the world. When you get the side-to-side going with the plays you talked about and I talked about, that pass rusher now has to make a decision. My eyes are going to and fro, but even if it's an RPO look, do I crash down or do I need to respect this? Because if it's Breshard Smith with elite speed, if I play this wrong, he's gone or down the field for 50 yards. And that's why getting Breshard Smith with his speed and his electricity to run those plays are more than just getting the offensive play itself. It actually can just put a pass rusher in a little bit of molasses for a bit.
We call it a Veach special, and we've seen them do this a couple of times on defense where they kind of find a guy who is a former first-round pick or second-round pick or third-round pick, and, you know, they get him kind of, you know, buy cheap, buy low, and maybe let's see what you have. Sometimes you're going to hit on those players. Sometimes you're going to miss. That's kind of what player evaluation is. I want them to keep taking those chances on young guys who are still on their rookie contract. Tyquan Thornton is not a player that I'm guessing Rob didn't hit the breaking news sounder whenever he joined the team. Yeah. We didn't probably make that big of a deal of it when he got called up from the practice squad. I think he's their best receiver right now. I think you've seen a couple of times where Pat certainly trusts him on those 50-50 balls to throw it down the field. He almost made one of those plays, just narrowly didn't catch it. But the confidence to go back to him the very next play, and he makes – I mean, that's one of the best catches I've seen the Chiefs have in quite some time there. I want the Chiefs to continue to take more of those chances, whether it's at running back, tight end, wide receiver, just trying to find players like Tyquan Thornton. I think they've really found something here that if you're trying to envision what the future looks like, when you get Rice back, when you get Worthy back, who are those other secondary playmakers that you can count on? I think Tyquan Thornton has to be in that mix now.
I'm going to give you a college analogy because I totally agree with you. But you knew the best NIL players are right now in college in FBS? The dudes they found in FCS. Cam Scataboo started at Sacramento State. He didn't blow up and start at Arizona State. So it's a little bit of a direct comparison. Thornton, and we saw him start to really jump up during OTAs, and then he backed it up at camp. But now he's put three games together. This isn't one 49-yard play against the Eagles and he got behind the defense and that's it and you don't see him again. He's now putting things together. But he did something last night now, a couple things.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
First of all, overcome the 34-yard incompletion. He thought he had it. To go right back, almost the same spot of the field, and make that play with his arms outstretched, with his hands, with the defender in position.
I actually think that probably should have been a flag. He caught it anyway. That was an incredible catch.
Great route, great catch. And he did it on the next play after he ran a route. That's like running a 400-meter dash in a prelim, and you run the finals the very next race. And he ran it great, and he made a better play the second time. The other thing that I thought he did that gets overlooked, that's a tough red zone catch he made on the 5-yard touchdown. Now, Mahomes made an awesome throw, but you also have to catch the awesome throw. And I asked him about it. He was on our Chiefs Rewind show that we put up on our Chiefs YouTube page, and that was last night. We had him on, and I asked him about that red zone play, and he even said that they had a play like that at Baylor. I said, did you bring that with you? Or no, it was New England, I think. New England, he said, did you bring it with you? He goes, well, I might have. But the fact that he ran it well, a precise route in the red zone, made a really hard catch, that's, to me, as valuable, maybe not as impressive, but maybe it's impressive, as his 33-yarder on the heels of the 34-yard incompletion. He's turning into something. Now, here's where this gets really interesting. Now you get Worthy back. Now you get Rice back at some point. You continue to use Hollywood Brown. If he is your fourth option, this is like having starters in baseball, and the dude that you roll out on the fourth day is really good and not that far off from the guy that's your ace. I thought that Mac McMullen, our senior team reporter, and he said it, this wasn't on air online or didn't put it on social, but he said he now is going to have a role like a Justin Watson, who had big plays in two straight Super Bowl championship years that we forget. But I think, and this is nothing against Justin Watson, if Tyquan Thornton does what he does and continues to elevate, he now gives you a Justin Watson plus-plus. Because now he's going to make those plays with maybe more frequency and a little more explosiveness that becomes an incredible complement to your big three, so to speak. And then throw in Jalen Royals, and you got a five-man rotation you can throw out there.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is brought to you by GEHA and Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. The question that I asked, and I just don't have the answer to it right now, is something just feels off with the Chiefs offense. Like, it's just not operating at the pace that I think it should be. Are we kind of attributing that to, well, when they get Rice and they get Worthy back, then a lot of the problems are going to be fixed with the offense? I mean, right now we're talking about a team that is 21st in points scored this year. They're just a little bit behind. Penalties, missed kicks, like a lot of the little things that championships team do, they're not there. Now, you don't need to be there in week 3 of the season, and this is usually a team that around October we see that shift and we get there. I find it kind of hard to evaluate Kansas City knowing how at this time in a month we expect them to be so different offensively.
Sometimes football, especially the NFL, but football at all levels, I mean, it could be Shawnee Mission North right here across the street. Everything's hard. For whatever reason, everything seems hard. And it feels like that in the first 3 weeks for the Chiefs. Now, defensively, that first game felt hard, but even like Butt missing kicks. Like, you're kidding. Like, you missed a PAT against the Chargers. You're like, wow, it's just like hard right now for him. Now, we've seen him fix it, and he gets on fire and starts winning games right and left. But the same thing, I think, with the offense. Now, we can say, and you can't dismiss the fact that you don't have your top two receivers. Give any team in the league that scenario, and they're not going to feel it. That being said, I think there has been some trial and error of what does the offense look like without those guys to find a rhythm. That's why that first drive of the third quarter I thought was noteworthy. And it started with runs, and they were able to run the ball and get 3 or 4 yards. 4 yards is a win on first down. It's a huge win. And if you saw the sequence, the first play was a run to Pacheco, I think, for 6. The very next play was set up by that run. They showed similar action, got a flow, but then they got the pass to Hollywood Brown at the right boundary. One thing helps the next. And once they got in that rhythm, 6 runs, 5 passes, it doesn't have to be that exactly, but those runs set up the passes, and the passes set up the runs, and all of a sudden they're in the end zone. Then they get the red zone touchdown, and they've got a touchdown. So I think it's been just a little bit R&D, trial and error, figuring out we don't have these guys. What's this going to look like? But I think they may have found a little bit of the solution, at least till Rice and Worthy come back, and Worthy may come back this week. But until Rice comes back and you got your full complements of dudes, you kind of got to figure this out, and it may look more like that first drive of the third quarter.
So I got to get your opinion on some of the other things that happened in the game. It feels to me like they are just having more incidents with Travis Kelce. They had the week one where he kind of gets into Jawan Taylor's face. The week two, he throws the helmet on the sideline, has that. Last night, we saw the kind of chest bump with Andy Reid. Yeah. You know these two guys as well as anybody. Is this something that's on your radar? Is this just two guys being competitive? What do you kind of make of it? Feels like we've had to talk about Travis Kelce emotion after each one of these games.
Well, to me, and knowing these guys, first of all, Andy Reid is uber competitive. He comes across as, you know, Uncle Andy at the picnic. Don't cross the dude. I mean, he'll lay you out. He'll just and help you out, but he'll lay you out. He's an old offensive lineman. Now, I think there's just frustration that's boiled over at certain times. That, combined with competitiveness, leads to what we have seen. I just think there's frustration on Kelce's part. I think he's trying to work through. Let's just go back to what we just talked about. I've kind of seen how this is all going to work. How are we going to find the formula, and haven't found it yet? So you kind of like beat your head against a wall a little bit. I think he was frustrated with the pass last week against the Eagles, which was that was equal to the Jalen Watson interception last night. These games are down to the wire in almost every one of these games. It takes one or two plays, and the one play against the Eagles was the play off his hands, right? That you can mouthwash that, but Kelce has a ton of pride. And right now I think he's just frustrated of not trying to – he's trying to get into a groove as well. So – but it's also handling that and handling it properly. And there will be probably discussions between he and coach about it. But you also don't push coach past the limit. And it's a matter of just kind of figuring all this out. But I think last night, more than just getting a victory, and now you're going to play the Ravens, who are awesome. But I'm starting to see some things get resolved and figured out and getting past the frustration stage to the all lock in, we've got it, let's push forward in a hurry stage.
Are you worried about Harrison Butker post-injury? It just, for a guy who at a time, I think you consider him to be the best kicker in the league, maybe it was Justin Tucker one,
most
Butker
clutch
two.
Kicker.
Yeah, certainly in that conversation. I think now a lot of people coming into the season, maybe you would have said him, maybe you would have said Brandon Aubrey from the Cowboys, like best kicker in the league. Just feels a little bit shaky early in the season. Don't want to give too much attention to it. But have you noticed anything different since the leg injury that kind of sidelined him for a lot of last year?
No, the only thing that I think would be noteworthy is he's not missing at the same place all the time. So last night he gets the doink, but he's kind of pulled. It's like being on the driving range and you're like, oh man, I pulled that shot. and he gets, oh, it works. Now, maybe is he overcompensating? But then the next one, which was good, was headed there. It was headed toward the left upright, but it's good. But then he pushed the one. He pushed the one against the Eagles on the 59-yarder. Those are pushes, pulls. So I think he also is trying to get into a groove. I don't think it's necessarily physical. I haven't talked to him about it. I would surmise and hypothesize that it's not. But it's a matter of him trying to get his tee shot down where I'm pulling, it's kind of a recalibration. But I've seen him go through it before. We both have. I've seen him fix it before. And so I've got complete trust. I mean, I didn't get much sleep last night. I'll maybe lose sleep tonight. I don't know. But I'm not going to lose sleep over Butker. I think I'll get it figured out. Now, that being said, the missed PAT against the Chargers was gigantic because that could have shifted the pressure to the other sideline. That game never shifted the pressure to the other sideline. And so those kicks are gigantic. Even in last night with the miss from 40, that just elevates the other sideline and gives them, you know, a plus-plus feeling, but usually deflates the opponent. So I just have every faith he'll fix it.
We're going to talk about this after you leave, where I think right now, like, one of the problems for the offense is it just doesn't have the infrastructure, I think, to overcome some of the little things. Like when you miss kicks the way that they did.
Yeah.
And then on third down, where Pat has a 17-yard run, another penalty by your right tackle that ends up erasing one of those plays, and now that's a play that maybe you score a touchdown on that drive, now you kick a field goal. I think some of fans' frustration today is Matt Nagy last week talked about accountability and how, hey, we're going to hold Juwan Taylor accountable when it comes to these penalties, and it just seems like at least once a game, and they always just seem to find the Chiefs at the absolute wrong time, a penalty happened that either takes points off the board or a big play off the board. And now the Chiefs kind of have a choice with Jalen Moore, and what are they going to do? What are you seeing from Juwan Taylor? How do you think that some of these problems haven't been able to be corrected, even though we've been having this conversation with Taylor for a while?
He's been around the league. Juwan's been around the league enough to know they try to look for the, how do I get an edge? How do I get that one-click edge, especially when you're facing Brian Burns, who I think's awesome. I thought he was awesome as a Carolina Panther. Kayvon Thibodeau is a quasi-elite, if not elite, player. Mentioned Abdul Carter. That whole group that they've got up front's really good. But it's right now he's at the fine line of trying to find that veteran edge. But it's probably now eking back into the point where you look at every little thing to reset, meaning I've got to line up on the center's belt. If I'm trying to find a half click of an edge, it's just like the Eagles running the tush push. Those guys are looking for one little extra 32nd of an inch where you're not going to beat me in the gap. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying what I've seen in years past in the league. But now he's got to like reset and go, okay, I'm a marked man. I'm a watched man. He's not getting by with what a lot of tackles are getting by with in the league, because I think he's under a microscope. And I mean, he's been penalized a lot, so he's got that reputation. So where do I align? How do I find an edge without trying to back up half a foot where now it's a penalty? And so this is a big week for him. I think from the standpoint of like, how do I rethink this? How do I work with Corey Matey, or how do I work with Andy Heck of like, all right, I got to get my feet back under me again, because like I feel like seven officials are looking at me every time. And so, again, that doesn't take him off the hook. That just I'm telling you that if I'm not getting by with it, then I've got to reload here.
What do you guys have planned for Chiefs Kingdom today?
Yeah, so we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to hear from Jalen Watson. We'll also hear from Breshad Smith. I'm very excited about him. And to get him in the flow a little bit last night, I'm fired up about him. Then we'll also have Mark Collins on tonight. So it's a little bit of an interesting perspective. Mark won two Super Bowls with the Giants, but he also played DB in the league for 13 seasons. And I'll ask him the same questions that you ask me in this, from the standpoint from a defensive secondary position. Look how much Shamari Connor's improved from week one. He's done a great job. Jalen Watson, obviously, the game he had last night. But the Chiefs do have such a varied approach. They'll have nickel as three safety nickel and two corners. They'll have three corners, two safeties, which is normally a normal nickel formation for most teams. But they're dime changes, and the corners for the Chiefs tackle well. I'm going to jump into a DB connoisseur tonight in Mark Collins and get his feedback on all that and where the secondary can go from here. Because let me tell you another big piece that we haven't talked about yet. Christian Fulton's injury goes back to OTAs. Like, he didn't get to participate a lot in OTAs. And there was some anticipation that he would be right there with Watson on the other side. But what does that do? That puts McDuffie in that slot position. And McDuffie in the slot is the best in the league at it. He changes your pressures. He changes your coverage. He takes pressure off other guys on your – he adds pressure to the offense, takes pressure off your defensive guys. And the fact that Fulton has really not even been around much or at all has changed the way that they were thinking in the offseason. So we have seen growth, though. A Noel Williams comes to mind. Noel Williams, for the most part, there's been some penalties, but that dude's an athlete and he's physical. So he looks a lot like Mark Collins back in the day. So we'll jump into that tonight and get into the brain of a guy who played the position, who studies the position, and especially the way the Chiefs view the position and the way they draft and the way they gain guys to try to build in the secondary.
That is Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs joining us on the show today. Be sure to stick around after us for the Chiefs Kingdom Show. Mitch, always great talking to you. Really looking forward to next week when you come on the show. I understand right now the Chiefs maybe aren't where they need to be. I mean, their three biggest games are still ahead of them. This game against Baltimore obviously really matters in the AFC. They play Buffalo, and they got a home game against the Chargers.
Yep.
If you figure out a way to go 3-0 or 2-1, you were still right there to do everything that you set off from the very beginning of the regular season. So certainly no reason to panic with the Chiefs.
Not at all. And again, the flash – I might have mentioned this last week. Every year there have been major flashpoints since Andy's been here. Major ones. 5 out of 6 losses, 3-4 in 2021, 9-6 in 2023. It just happened at the beginning of the year this time. And when it happens at the beginning, it's almost harder than the middle of the end because you're working uphill. But that doesn't mean you cannot fix it. You look at the examples of teams who have done it in the past, and most recently the 2018 Patriots. They started 1-2, and look how that turned out. So it's just a matter of yes, you laid it out. But you attack this week against a superb team. I think the Ravens, in the Lamar Jackson era, this might be the best team they've had.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.